We're going to have our Bible readings now, and it's extracts from Luke chapter 21 and Mark chapter 13, taken from the Living Bible, and we're going to have Carol Armstrong to read them to us. Thank you, Carol.
Luke 21. Some of Jesus' disciples began talking about the beautiful stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all these things you are admiring will be knocked down, and not one stone will be left on top of another. All will become one vast heap of rubble." "Master," they exclaimed, "when? And will there be any warning ahead of time?" He replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come announcing themselves as the Messiah and saying, 'The time has come,' but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections beginning, don't panic. True, wars must come, but the end won't follow immediately, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes and famines in many lands, and epidemics and terrifying things happening in the heavens. So when all these things begin to happen, stand straight and look up, for your salvation is near." Then he gave them this illustration. "Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. In the same way, when you see the events taking place that I've described, you can be just as sure that the kingdom of God is near." Mark 13 extracts. Jesus said, "And the good news must first be made known in every nation before the end time finally comes. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry about what to say in your defense. Just say what God tells you to. Then you will not be speaking, but the Holy Spirit will. The sun will grow dim and the moon will not shine, and the stars will fall. The heavens will convulse. However, no one, not even the angels in heaven, nor I myself, knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when it will happen, stay alert, be on the watch for my return."
Let's just have a prayer together before we start looking at Luke 21. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the things you said, as well as what you've done. Help us to now absorb what you want to tell us for today from the chapter that we're going to be looking at parts of. Amen. So here we are again with the subject we're looking at today, a multiple subject, because they seem to pile in one after the other, didn't they? First of all, we had the COVID situation. And then only from earlier on this year, I think it was 150 days or something like that, the Ukraine situation happened. And as a result of various things, those two in particular, but around those, the cost of living is probably one of the most worrying things for many, many people today, especially with the electricity and gas prices going up so much from the autumn, when they're going to be used more. And of course, the climate change, and we did actually have a first-hand experience of that a few days ago, didn't we? Oh boy, wasn't that hot? And of course, the message since then is yes, this is just a taster, because this is happening, and the weather forecasters have given us graphs and saying it's actually happening more often at the moment, so we need to respond to it. And then, of course, you have the anxiety. It's a huge amount of mental health issues that have built up over the past 2.5, 3 years. a lot of anxiety over where is all this going to when you put them together like this. We've never had this sort of thing before. You've had so many things happening all at once. It seems so strange. But then that's on top of the anxiety that is normal in many families, because if you have close family or friends who are ill, or who are in hospital, or having difficult situations, or if you're having a difficult situation, or you or others can't find a job, or your pension is going down, you know, what do you do? So anxiety is a big thing at the moment, and you put those five together and you say, well, how do we respond? Well, fortunately, Jesus gave us a bit of a clue to how we should respond. Let's look at the context of Luke 21. It's the middle of Holy Week, so they've just had the triumphant procession on the Sunday into Jerusalem, and later on in Holy Week you would have had the Last Supper on Thursday evening, crucifixion on the Friday, nothing very much happening on the Saturday, and the resurrection on the Sunday morning. So sometime in the middle of Holy Week, they were together with, Jesus was together with his disciples in Jerusalem. And the disciples were admiring the temple. You see, I know how they feel, because they were northerners from up country, and they didn't often get the chance to go down south into the big city. And when they saw particularly the wonderful temple, not just with the look of it, but with all the history of it, they said, wow, gosh, that's amazing. And they were just so struck about the whole thing. And that gave Jesus the chance to teach about what the future held, because he said, hold on, because it's not going to always be like that. And what Jesus said then was quite remarkable and quite the opposite of what they were thinking. Because already they were beginning to get a little bit nervous, because the triumphal entry into Jerusalem was great, a wonderful situation. People saying hoorays and hallelujahs everywhere. But then in the next day or two, you already started to get the leaders of the Jewish faith in Jerusalem starting to argue and grumble. And the disciples had started already to think, what is going on here? We thought everything would be getting sewn up and Jesus would be suddenly standing in the temple and he'd be King of Kings and Lord of Lords already. What Jesus was saying in those verses, in essence, is that the world won't end because wars and epidemics bring it to a close. That's the essence of his message. And underlining that, in the final bullet point, Jesus said that he will be in charge all the way through all of the things that might happen in the world until he returns in his own time. Thank you very much. Not just because we fight each other, and even if we had nuclear wars, that's not the thing that's going to end the world. Jesus will decide in his own time. So this chapter encapsulates a lot of that. Now, here's your homework, if I may suggest this. When you get home at some stage, read all the way through Luke chapter 21, and if you might, like me when I read it, can get pretty confused about what he's talking about. The situation is that Jesus is talking about three different periods of history, and they're not very clearly separated out, because at the time of writing this gospel, in about AD 60, Luke had all of the things that Jesus said firsthand from some of the people that Jesus said them to. But some of the things that Jesus was talking about, in fact, all of the things that he was talking about, hadn't happened yet. So Luke had to do his best to put them into what he thought would be a good order to read. But the three things he was talking about was this. Firstly, it was the destruction of the temple, which happened in 70 AD. Jesus was saying, as soon as they started talking about how wonderful the temple is, he said, yes, but look, all the stones will be turned around and things will be destroyed. And it was in 70 AD that the Roman imperial forces entered and swept Jerusalem to the ground pretty well. And particularly, they just knocked the temple down and all to pieces. And that was one of the things that Jesus said would happen. He didn't give the date of it, but he said it's going to happen. That must have really shocked the disciples. But of course, Luke, because he was writing a decade or so earlier than this, didn't actually know how to place that in the context of the other things Jesus was talking about. So when you do your homework, you're going to do your homework, aren't you? Just see if you can pick out the bits that refer to the destruction of the temple. And then the second thing is that Jesus was talking a lot about the time between Pentecost and Jesus' second coming. That's the time we're in now, of course. And this is a period we're going to be looking at today. And that period, when Jesus was talking about it, it might have lasted 3 months or 10 years. It's now lasted 2,000 odd years. It may last another 20 years or 5 minutes or several thousand more years. You just don't know. Jesus didn't tell us. And he said at one stage, well, I don't actually know at the moment as the human Jesus. That was the second thing, the period we're looking at today. Pentecost to Jesus, second coming. So that's the second bit, if you can pick that out of Luke 21. And then the third bit Jesus talks about, here's a bit of a clue. Most of it's near the end of Luke 21, and he doesn't say very much about it. Jesus talks about his second coming, date unknown. We've often guessed or tried to guess through history when Jesus will come again. We said, oh, this and this and this is happening, so he's got to be due. But Jesus said very clearly, the end will not come by natural or human causes, and we should not try either to forecast it or ignore it. So that is the context of Luke 21. But let's now get stuck in a bit more to that second period, the period in which we are now. Verses 9 to 11. Let me read it through to you again. This is what was part of the reading a few minutes ago. And I've highlighted the bits that Jesus was talking about that he said we should watch out for and take notice of, and they should remind us about things. And when you hear of wars and insurrections beginning, don't panic. True, wars must come, but the end won't follow immediately. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and famines in many lands and epidemics and terrifying things happening in the heavens. Those five things which Jesus said, look out for these and let them remind you that Jesus is going to come, but he hasn't come yet. Let's look at those five in turn, and I'm going to have a little drink without stepping back. I don't want to have a big drink out of there, indeed, not just a moment. That's better. That's a lovely little bottle which I got when I was preaching at Crookham Methodist, their first service after the epidemic allowed them to open again. And they brought out a special bottle instead of their posh little glass that they usually had. And they said, in case you knock it over. So I kept the bottle and I still use it for every service I go to today, including when I'm just sat down there. So let's have a look at the first three things. There are five things Jesus was talking about, but these three things are things that we understand now through science and through experience, a lot more than the disciples would have understood them then, or the people of the New Testament era would have understood them then. Earthquakes, famines, and what Jesus called in Luke's gospel, but he expounded on it a bit more earlier on, terrifying things happening in the heavens. Now, these sound fairly scary, don't they? But when you know a little bit more about them, or a lot more about them, they're not scary in the sense of what on earth are they? They can be scary in the sense of keep clear of them, take precautions and whatever. So let's have a little look at those. Let's look at earthquakes, first of all. We didn't know why earthquakes were caused until only in 1967 we discovered that the top crust of the earth, the top layer, like the shell on an egg, is made up of tectonic plates because The whole world is covered with a series of different plates, and they tend to move over hundreds and thousands of millions of years, closer together or further apart, and they slide along against each other. And all of a sudden, scientists discovered around 1967 that if you looked at the geography of the land masses of the world and where the earthquakes were and where the volcanoes were, you could actually draw a map with lines on where all the faults were, and you could trace back where these have all come from. It's such a simple bit of science, and yet we only discovered it 50-odd years ago. But the thing is that where those tectonic plates slide against each other, they sometimes come up against each other and they fix and they get more and more pressure as they try to move, and then bang, guess what? An earthquake. That's how earthquakes are. And it's as simple as that, where you've got these fault lines going on. And interestingly, if you look at the top left of there, you can see one of the fault lines going right up through Israel, from the Dead Sea up to the Sea of Galilee, on the river there, and that is on what we call a fault line. So that's why in that part of Israel you get lots of earthquakes, some little, some big. And in 2015, Anne and I went to have 2 months' holiday in New Zealand, staying with Anne's sister Tina and her family, and they lived in Wellington. And it was a lovely scenery because Wellington's right down at sea level, but then you've got hills all around going up quite high. And Rick and Tina's house is almost at the top of some of those hills. You've got a lovely view all the way down from their conservatory. And when I got home, I got very interested in earthquakes and volcanoes because New Zealand is right on one of those fault lines. And I find out there's a fault line just half a mile, if that, above, up the hill, above Rick and Tina's house. And I thought, I hope that doesn't go like that, because that's not going to do much good to their house. But the New Zealanders seem just to take it in their stride. But that's earthquakes. The message, of course, is there. Now we know about tectonic plates and fault lines, just don't live too near to them. People take notice of that, except probably in California, where they haven't really seemed to take notice of that quite yet. But no doubt one day they will. Earthquakes. And then famines. That's just one major outcome of climate change. There are other things, of course, that cause famines in different ways. But famines do happen, and they have happened over a long, long time. Thankfully, we now know much more about them than we did. When you look back several hundred years, we now know that there were famines in lots of countries, several countries at the minimum, quite a lot more, quite often. And we didn't know about them, and we didn't even have the means to transport food and aid and medical supplies to them. But isn't it wonderful that now we thankfully know about them, and we know that we can actually do something about them, and you have a lot of remarkable organisations, particularly including organisations like the Baptist Union, BMS and Tear Fund, who are able to do something to help alleviate famines when they do happen. But again, as I say, most of that is caused by climate change. So it links what Jesus said to what we have now. And then thirdly, terrifying things happening in the heavens. Jesus just compressed that in Luke 21 into one, or Luke compressed it for Jesus into one little clause there. But Mark 13 gives more detail and is very precise about what Jesus said. He said, "The sun will go dim, and the moon will not shine, and the stars will fall, and the heavens will convulse." And those are four issues that we know a lot about now, because they're issues that happen again and again and again, all the way through time. They don't just happen once or twice. And I think one of the main things that Jesus is talking about is saying, look, when you live through your history, every lifetime you will see these things happening, and it will be a constant reminder that you are in this period of history, and I am still coming at some time, and we don't know when that will be. Now, you may have guessed from my first ever slide this morning that I'm a fairly keen astronomer and stargazer, and I got a quite big telescope that Anne thinks is far too big to go in the kitchen, so I had to have I had to buy a little shed in the garden to put it in. And I wheel it out whenever there's anything to see. The sun will go dim. Must have been scary in those days when, quite out of nothing, the sun started to go dim. You thought, what's happening? Then it was almost night time for probably an hour, and then it suddenly got like it should be again. And I said, phew. But we know exactly why the sun goes dim now, and we know that it's because you've got the earth and the sun and the moon, and it depends in which order they're in. And here we've got the sun in front of us, it's daytime, and the moon is exactly in the front of the sun, so it's covered it up because it's almost the same size as far as we look at it. And we're here, and of course it's just a normal thing. It happens. Oops, let me have another go at that. There we are. And the moon will not shine. Lunar eclipses. Again, it must have seemed very, very weird when the moon suddenly went dark and then came light again. But now again, we know it. We've got the sun behind us, so it's nighttime, and we've got Earth in between, and we've got the moon in front of us, so the lunar eclipse is simply the Earth's shadow on the moon. Nothing more than that. And if you can see the time on this, it's a photograph I took of one of the last complete lunar eclipses at 4:05 in the morning when we were in France. And Anne even got up to watch it. It must have been quite interesting, because normally she would say, oh, come back to bed, don't be silly. But yes, and they continue to happen, not infrequently. And terrifying things happening in the heavens. Well, we've got a couple of regular examples. Mark says the stars will fall. And all you've got to do is to think of comets and meteor showers. The photograph on the right is a comet, quite a well-known comet. And it was taken by a friend of mine from her house near Chesterfield when it was a lovely clear night. I have a lovely clear night in Chesterfield, I tell you. It's not desperately usual. If anybody comes from Sheffield, yeah, I've been there, I know that, yeah. And then the one on the left is a meteor shower, which it has to be a really dark night for you to see, and you have to be looking in the right direction, but suddenly you get all these things. But of course, in the Middle East, at those times when no streetlights and dark, clear skies, it was amazing. Of course, they didn't know about it, and we know they're just ordinary occurrences now, unless one of the meteors happens to hit the ground, in which case it can be very nasty. And the heavens will convulse. And we've got some lovely examples of that. There's the photograph on the left and on the right is what we call a supernova. It's when a big sun collapses and collapses and collapses and collapses and then gets so small that it has a tremendous nuclear explosion and goes boomf. And it gets huge and it gets really bright and you can actually see it in the daytime. Now, the one on the left is called the Crab Nebula. And that happened in the year 1054, and it scared the daylights out of people then because it was so big, and it stayed very, very bright for quite a number of years. And now, looking through a telescope, it looks like that. And that's a lovely view to see in a telescope. Done that, been there. Didn't photograph that. And on the right is one of the best-known stars now. It's officially pronounced Betelgeuse, but everybody calls it Betelgeuse. That sounds rather more fun. And if you know the Orion Nebula, the Hunter, it's at the top left of that, and it's a yellow star. And any time soon, that will be collapsing and going boom, and you'll have another one of those bright, bright stars seeable in the daytime. So these are things that Jesus says, remember these things, because there'll be a reminder to you that one day I will coming, but not yet. And what that leaves is wars and epidemics. We know and we have experience of both, but they still come and they still go. The Ukraine war is happening 77 years later than when peace started to spread through Europe. I've kept for a long time now a note of how many years it was since the end of the Second World War and the peace that started in the Northwest and spread slowly through the rest of Europe for 77 years. And one of the things that makes people in Europe so anxious is that this is the first time you have had a war of this size in those 77 years that peace has been spreading in this way. So you can imagine if you're living, particularly further east in Europe, I've been a lot of times to Poland and Czechoslovakia as it was then, and we're very concerned about this. That was not just Ukraine and the war, but in terms of the epidemic, COVID is bad enough now, but I didn't realise until I looked it up a little while ago that one of the big two flu epidemics in the 20th century was what was called Spanish flu, although it didn't come from Spain, and that took hold in 1918, and that was at the same time as the Second World War was going on. And can you just imagine what people must have felt then? Got the Second World War, so many people being killed, and then you had this epidemic. And people would think, what is happening? And the Spanish flu actually killed more people than the whole World War I death toll. And I never realised that. That's quite something, isn't it? And then, of course, we had Asian flu in the 1950s. And my wife's dad caught it in Fernham Road, so it spread even down to Chard. And that's something. So when you look at these five things, and I've described them quite a lot, because Jesus was trying to bring events and situations clearly to people's minds, especially so that when things like that happen, they wouldn't get so frightened and think, is the world going to end? What's happening? And especially when things like Spanish flu and the First World War happen together. So how to respond to them? The key is very simply in what Jesus said. In Luke 21, verse 9, Jesus said, don't panic. Simple as that. So when you feel what is happening today with all these things going on together, what did Jesus say? Just think, well, you think of what that little booklet is about. That is a don't panic booklet that I was given. Was it one of my daughters, wasn't it, Kathy or Elena? Gave it to me as a notebook, because I never remember anything unless I write it down. And if I write it down on a piece of paper, I lose a piece of paper. So they knew that their dad would actually quite like a notebook that would be a dad's army reminder. And that's the same words that Jesus said there. And Jesus said, and I like the way that it's put in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said, don't panic, but the end is not yet. And the end is not yet. I knew the expression, but I didn't realize it was only in the Authorized Version of the Bible and in Matthew 24. And so I borrowed Anne's father's Bible that he was given when he was in his early teens or something like that, and took a little photograph of this verse. And Jesus says, I'll read it to you, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So Jesus' response, don't panic, and the end is not yet. And finally, I'd like to suggest two key texts that might encourage us and reassure us. Not from Luke 21, from a quite different situation, but two of them that have something to say to us. I'll just take another drink again, if you'll excuse me. Lovely passage in Jeremiah. And again, I put the words in the bold and the red. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. What a lovely text that is, isn't it? Jeremiah 29, if you want to look it up at home. And then Jesus at the Last Supper, not a surprising thing for me to think of at this time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So, in our final nutshell, when we think about all these things and how to respond, here are five bullet points which I'd suggest to you. Don't panic. The end is not yet. You have a future and a hope. My peace I give you. Do not be afraid. Amen.